Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blaze, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing from I-95 in Brantford?
Awesome,
nice.
Man. How are
you?
How you
doing, Blaze?
Good, good. Well, you know, I'm a sales guy, so I'm on the road from like 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. So I'm listening to the afternoon show, and they're talking about the quarterback from LSU and the quarterback from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gary Danielson is saying Cincinnati is going to pick one of those guys. And of course, the afternoon guy comments on that. And Gary Danielson says, yeah, they need a guy like Boomer up there. When Boomer was in Cincinnati, he commanded the room and he was a presence for the team. So I wanted to let you know that you got a good compliment in the afternoon show. So
by Gary Danielson. What did Mike say to that?
The heck with Boomer.
Yeah, what did he say?
No, he didn't.
He was very quiet. He went on to the next topic.
Yeah, right. Of course, very nice of Gary to say that.
He didn't command any rooms. He's not a room commander. No way. He's the opposite of that.
I'm glad somebody remembers. That's nice.
Oh,
By the way, speaking of kind of getting exposed and all that other stuff, like, did you see this spread on Stephen Cohen in the Post today?
Yes, I did. I saw the whole thing.
Remember we were talking about yesterday how, like, all of a sudden now mainstream
people are going to be digging through everything,
know who the hell he is and what's going on.
Sure,
he likes to buy a lot of things.
Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday, man.
I know, but
anybody
I'm just saying,
who pays Guy Fieri to drive around Connecticut and eat food with them is someone who's flush with cash.
So where does Stephen Cohen live?
Greenwich,
right?
Connecticut.
Where does Tiki Barber live?
Does he live in Greenwich? I don't know.
Up
where
in Greenwich.
Does he?
Yeah.
He comes in from Greenwich every day, Tiki.
I'm pretty sure he's got a son that plays high school football up there.
Oh, really?
And very good too, by the way.
Did you see that?
So you kind of now know where it's all coming from.
Sure,
the streets of Greenwich, the hard scrabble of Greenwich up there.
He's got two friends, Steve Cohen, with the Mets ties. Two very close friends.
Who's that?
Bobby Valentine,
right?
And Omar Minaya.
Well, there you go.
Who has dined at one of his mansions? So this is Steve Cohen. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, my buddy up there, Billy H. He's from Brooklyn. Moved to Greenwich. Toughest guy in Greenwich, right?
The great Billy H.
Right. Drinks white wine and everything, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was just saying, he's a normal guy. Walks around the streets up there and everything. So I'm sure he's probably hearing a lot from Met fans. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I was last night, this appearance I had last night, like, people are thinking, like, he's dumping, like, $20 billion into the team, like, right now, and they're going out in the buy. Like, guys, it's not
next
happening
year.
Like that.
Next year. That's
maybe
what he's going to do it. Next year. Did you see the story? Because we talked about how Steve Cohen buys this crazy artwork, right?
Yeah.
So on the front page of the Post this morning is a story about how someone bought a banana that was duct taped to a wall at an art exhibit for $120,000. And I immediately thought it's got to be Brody Van Wagenen to try to impress Steve Cohen, right?
Like, okay.
Hey, Steve, it's Broadster again. I'm probably filling up your voicemail, but I can buy dumb stuff too. I just bought this banana, this duct tape banana. If you want it, I'll just give it to you as a Christmas gift. Happy holidays. Feliz Navidad. That's what Carlos just said. So I can do this too. Bye.
Now, let me ask you this question. Is this banana petrified or something? Or
no.
Or is it going to go bad?
No, no, no. It's just... it's
what is it?
It's going to go bad.
Oh, I should put a banana in my tight jeans.
All right.
It's a real banana?
It's a real banana that was duct taped to the wall that was sold
$120,000.
$120,000, yeah. Right.
And what happens when it goes bad and you throw it out?
Right, there's got to be
worthless.
Something behind this.
I don't think it's people throwing it out. It's just...
was this bought at
brown
a
banana
charity
peel
auction or something?
No, I mean, it was at a... It's an Italian artist.
Oh, it's at the Art Basel show in Miami.
So, yeah, someone bought it. They're going to keep it. $120,000
Taped bananas to the wall, titled it Comedian, and it sold at least two of them for $120,000.
We could do this to Boomer's office. Just tape a banana on there and say Boomer bought it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We
should do then Pat Boyle will eat it.
By the way, everywhere I go now, that's all anybody wants to talk about.
Pat Boyle.
The guy sleeping on the couch and how wrong that was and, you know, what a whatever. But I just said it all started with Jerry Recco leaving the door open.
Yeah, it did. That was the first domino. But, I mean, that door could have been wide open with neon signs and everything. I mean, you just got to stay away from it. You can't go in there and sleep on the couch and then leave a note.
Part of me is like, he left the note. You know, I mean, at least he owned up to it.
And then you met him over the phone.
Right, and then I saw his Twitter profile pic, and I was like, oh, oof.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo, do you have some Jerry Recco from last night, or what?
Yeah, we got Jerry Recco.
Right,
yeah,
sure.
Brought to you by the Ray Catena Auto Group. Get the gift that keeps on giving during the Season of Audi sales event at Ray Catena Audi Freehold. So 17-play touchdown drive for the Cowboys to open up Thursday Night Football in Chicago. Kind of like Thanksgiving. They struck first, but and then they pretty much went to sleep after that.
First and 10 from the 23. Trubisky, the shotgun snap. Keeps it. Runs left. A lot of open space. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. Breaks a tackle and into the end zone for a touchdown. 23 yards for Mitchell Trubisky. And just like that, Chicago puts six more on the board. They lead it 30-14.
There you go. The great Jerry Recco, courtesy of Compass Media Network. Solid call. Very solid.
Great call by Jerry.
Do you have the touchdown call at the beginning?
We have all the touchdown calls.
I'd like to hear the first touchdown call where he still thinks the Cowboys can win.
Be careful
with this.
Still
thinks they have a chance.
Be careful with throwing this stuff at CeeLo. Remember, he does not respond well in situations.
No, I can find it if you give me a second. If you guys, you know.
Come on.
What do you think? I just have them just like on a, you know, automatic play here?
Hey, stop screaming at us.
No screaming.
And, you know, look, just adjust and adapt and let's go.
You got to know a guy's strengths and weaknesses. But we're asking him to do this now. We'll see you at 6:36. That's basically
pretty much. You're right.
You can't find the first touchdown call?
Well,
this was as predictable as the Knicks losing to the Nuggets last night.
First touchdown's in my email. Have it for you next hour. How's that?
All right, okay.
I could play literally every other play-by-play call from last night except the first one.
Give us a positive Cowboys call. Can you do that?
Positive Cowboys call, sure. Let's see here. Miss field goal, that's a no. Trubisky, no, no. There you go. Right. Amari Cooper touchdown. Great.
Shotgun snap. Prescott looking left, throwing left. Fade ball for Cooper. Goes up. Makes the catch.
Well,
and I guess it's a Cowboy touchdown. They've still never put the arms in the air.
Poor Jerry, the refs.
My goddamn fault. I apologize.
Danny White in there. Well.
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 Oh.
And I guess it's a Cowboys touchdown.
Right, yeah. Oh, well, the refs didn't help him out. They didn't signal, you know? He doesn't want to assume. See, that's a wise move. That's a veteran broadcaster right there. Can't assume.
Can't have dead air on the radio. You gotta get it going.
Yeah, that ambient crowd noise there.
You gotta go in on. So this should be a touchdown. Yeah, why the officials are not putting it up? They're still waiting for a stick. That's what's.
And then
if
they waved it off, you could have said, "My mistake."
And then say, and then do what all the play-by-play guys say. Now they're saying it's not a touchdown. Like I'm gonna blame them. That's what you have to do, I would think. Right.
I guess so.
I've called one game in my life.
There you go.
And here I am,
the expert. So that first call we heard was the fourth TD of the night for Mitch Trubisky. Three passing, one rushing. Cowboys did score 10 points late to make the final score respectable, but they lose to the Bears 31-24, falling to 6-7. Once again, Jerry Jones addressing the job status of Jason Garrett after this one.
Everybody that's in here that's healthy, and everybody that's healthy that's coaching will be coaching, and everybody that's in here that will be playing. We just got to play better.
I think that was his way of saying no change, but I didn't know that the health
of the amazing is how bad their defense has gotten and how Michael Bennett hasn't given them anything.
I saw a stat this morning, 25, then when they've scored 25 or more, they're 6-0, and when they've scored 25 or less, 0-7. So obviously the defense is not in
supposed to be a great
games,
defense too, man.
Chicago had 382 yards of total offense, and you know, they haven't scored but like they averaged like 20 points a game.
Yeah, they made Trubisky look like a stud last night. He's running all over the place.
But good for him, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course,
he's trying to reclaim whatever he lost. In the last few games, he's played really well.
Yes, now, this NFC East is terrible. We know that. I'm getting a bunch of tweets, morning that says that there was just critical errors that were made on the warm-up show this morning.
That's what happens when I'm asked to do math before 6 a.m.
So Al and CeeLo, the entirety of the 15-minute warm-up show, are saying how the Giants can still win the division.
I was saying it was my dream that the Giants would win it.
And he was pitching me this whole, Eli comes riding in on the white Bronco and saves the day, and they win four in a row, and they go to the playoffs.
Why does he have to come in riding in on a white Bronco?
He didn't say that.
I said Bronco.
That. Yeah. White Bronco. Yeah. Yeah. White horse. The
RJ? White horse. Bronco.
Al Cowling?
Yeah, well, what is it? Is a Bronco not a horse?
No, you say a white horse. That's the phrase.
I like white Bronco.
No, white Bronco's a car. Yeah. But no, they were eliminated. It's impossible.
Right.
They're done.
So Cowboys. You guys,
I mean,
they can't.
That was a dream that Al had.
No, but he actually thought it was legit, and I, of course, did not take the time.
How many wins did the Giants have?
Two.
Okay.
So
how many games do they have left?
Four.
Right.
Right. So how many could they possibly win?
Six, which is right now leading the division.
Yeah, but they've already...
No, but it's the tiebreakers.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah. They got swept by Dallas. That was the part that we left out.
You're bad.
So we went as far as to go through the playoff scenarios, who they would host on the wild card weekend.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
But I was saying, isn't it interesting though? At 2-10, you would think the fact that they're only losing out by a tiebreaker if they win four games, that's crazy.
Speaks well, to if they win four the games is. And the Cowboys lose four.
Right.
And the Eagles don't get to seven.
Right. Right.
But they got the Eagles twice.
Yes,
it could happen.
The Eagles have two other games as well.
Nailed it.
They're eliminated already. It's over.
Right now, I'm the best.
That wasn't a good look for us. I will admit to that. It's been a rough start. That's for sure.
I mean, man, sports talk radio at its finest.
Yeah.
I say you're a fool.
You don't even know the freaking playoff scenarios.
It was more of a spur of the moment thing when I looked down at the standings and saw 2-10 and the Cowboys with this loss are only 6 and whatever they are.
Hey, clown.
Yeah, clown.
6 and whatever they are. Meanwhile, I was alerted that on the Giant broadcast, on the TV broadcast Sunday, they said about 5 times Giants have been, they'll be eliminated from playoff contention.
Right.
They'll be eliminated, they'll be eliminated, they'll be eliminated.
And just pump your brakes there, Sparky.
Yeah.
All right,
so while the Giants may not be able to catch the Cowboys, Jerry Jones certainly not happy about the way his team is playing.
It's losing, losing, losing. So I'm not trying to be funny here, but the point is that we've got to win a football game.
Literally one, maybe two more to steer clear of the Eagles atop the NFC East. But Garrett trying to keep the focus off the stand.
What you're trying to instill in your team is those things are irrelevant. You got to come to work every day, prepare the right way, and go play the right way.
Didn't really happen in this particular one, though.
At different times, we played fine. For most of the game, we didn't play well enough.
It's their second 3-game losing streak of the season. Their remaining games, home Rams at Eagles, home Redskins. The Eagles have finished up with 4 divisional games, as Al mentioned, 2 against the Giants. Speaking of which, Daniel Jones remains out of practice in the walking boot, so we're another day closer to the return of Eli Monday night in Philly. Might he be able to jumpstart Saquon Barkley? Pat Shurmur asked about that yesterday.
What can he help do different than what Daniel can do with the run game? Not much.
All right, then. The Jets could also use a spark with their run game, but Le'Veon Bell mispracticed yesterday with an illness. There's been a bunch of that with the Jets this year, of course, most notably Sam Darnold's bout with mono. Here was Adam Gase.
Every case has been something different. Not the same. It hasn't just been like, hey, we have 3 guys with the flu.
And he said they're actually going to further look into that to see what the heck is going on, why they have all these guys getting sick with different illnesses.
What, they have 15 guys on IR now?
I think it leads the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, that's for sure. Quickly on the baseball before we get to the Knicks, you got the ESPN report that the Yankees have ownership level approval. Am I allowed to say this or is this going to upset you?
No, go ahead.
Ownership level approval to offer Gerrit Cole what would be a record-setting contract. The number that people are kind of throwing out there is $250 million.
Good. I don't care. It's their money. Let them spend it.
Awesome. Sure.
Great.
Go get them, man. Let's
go. I know.
Go.
That's what they need to do.
Let's messing around. Spend the money and go.
We knew they were going to go after him, for crying out loud. So let's see if they end up getting
him an offer he can't refuse and give the Yankee fan a Christmas present.
That would be great. Padres and Rays agreed on a trade in principle. Tommy Pham and a prospect to San Diego for Hunter Renfro and a prospect. And apparently Blake Snell was not thrilled with the deal from a Rays standpoint. We will get his profane reaction later this morning. So you remember yesterday when David Fizdale said the Knicks had their best practice of the year after the beatdown in Milwaukee, leading into last night's home game against the Nuggets. Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
They're playing zone right now, and that's not going to make a difference from the three-point shooting from Denver, who is just lighting it up from downtown, 15 of 24.
Mike Breen, MSG, how about 21 of 39 for the game? The Knicks held under 20 points in both the second and fourth quarters. They trailed by as many as 43. The Nuggets had eight guys in double figures. They cruised to a 129-92 victory at the Garden. The Knicks become the seventh team in NBA history to lose consecutive games by 35 or more points. How's that feel, Coach Fizdale?
Sickening. And they'll have to rewatch it. Just like I'm going to watch it three or four times, they're going to have to suffer through it as well.
That's eight in a row.
They got to put him out of his misery.
Yeah, I think that by the end of the show, we have to hear something, right? I mean, how could they continue on like this? I mean, when we say historic, we're not just saying historic for the hell of it. It's historic how bad they've been. And this is not the Luke Kornet we're trying to tank Nick. This right. is we're actually trying to win. Let's see what David Fizdale can do with some pros, Knicks. And they're worse than they were last year. They're tied for the worst franchise start ever. And they're now the seventh team in NBA history to lose by 35 or more points on consecutive nights. I mean, it's as stomach-turning and sickening as it gets, as David Fizdale said, and firing the coach isn't going to make him a playoff team, but it's just unacceptable. You can't have him out there again with his wood-frame glasses and his goofy look going, well, that was bad. No, it's terrible. It's awful. Get out!
4-18, here he was asked about his job security.
I don't care about all of that. I don't even think about that, really. I think about the next team we're playing. I think about the guys in the locker room and how I can help them. At the end of the day, that's all I care about.
Well, welcome to New York, and this is what all these coaches end up dealing with eventually. Sooner or later, these questions start happening, especially when your team looks like it quit on you. Now, I told you on Monday that, you know, after what happened with after what happened with the Devils over the weekend against the Rangers, and then going up to Buffalo and getting hammered and all that other stuff.
Tuesday, you called it. You said you can't put him out there tonight.
But I also said, I said the same thing about Fizdale. You cannot put it. If you like the man and you appreciate what you think he's done for you, you can't put him back out there this coming Saturday,
Pacers,
right? They play Saturday.
Pacers tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I just wouldn't want to do that to the guy. You know, it's obvious that the players are not playing for him. It is. You can see it. He can sit up and he can rip guys off the court and put other guys on the court. They stink. There's no flow. It doesn't look like they actually care about what the hell is going on.
No, in back-to-back games.
That is a really bad look for a coach.
And then
when you're
supposed to at least respond the next night after losing by 44. Doesn't mean you have to win the game. It's a great team there. But you have to respond in a way where it looks like you care. And they followed up with another apathetic performance.
Yes, they did. You got the Nets in Charlotte tonight to face the Hornets. We'll have coverage on the Fan 650. The Islanders beat Vegas at the Coliseum 4-3. Ryan Pulock with the overtime winner there for the Isles. And Artemi Panarin scored against his former team. The Rangers beat the Blue Jackets in Columbus 3-2. Alexander Georgiev with 45 saves.
He was under stood a on his siege head last late. Night.
Yes, again. He was. For sure. And you got the Devils hosting the Blackhawks tonight.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.